Hey, everybody. It's the Charlie Kirk Show. Darren Beatty joins us and Jack Posobiec for some big announcements and analysis. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com and get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. Start a high school chapter, start a college chapter at tpusa.com. We deeply appreciate the support. Also, you can support this program directly, charliekirk.com/support. Amy from California, thank you. Karen from Ohio, Arthur from California, Kristen from Illinois, Michael from Michigan, Cheryl from California, Christine from Utah, Sharon from New Jersey, and Terry from Wisconsin. charliekirk.com/support. Come to our Young Women's Leadership Summit in Dallas, Texas at tpusa.com/YWLS. That is tpusa.com/YWLS. Biggest speakers in the movement: Carrie Lake, Laura Ingram, Candace Owens, Yanmi Park, Riley Gaines, and more. That is tpusa.com/YWLS. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Jack Posobiec, welcome. So, Jack, a lot going on here. For those of us that want to see Donald Trump be the nominee, this was a very good week for him. You got Tim Scott, you got this Doug Burnham character, you got all these people. What's your take, Jack Posobiec?
Well, I think I do think that in some cases you're seeing a huge race breakout for the vice presidential field. Because this is something that I think has gone a lot unnoticed in the spate of announcements this week, that, of course, President Trump's, that this is kind of an open spot for him, this vice presidential name. I know I've heard a lot lately about Vivek Ramaswamy. I've had people reaching out to me about that, say, hey, what do you think? You know, obviously, he's very effective communicator, you know, kind of a fresh face, doesn't have the same track record that some of the candidates do. And then there's the question of Ron DeSantis. And so Ron comes in, obviously not so much going for the VP slot, but there are conversations also being had about, look, there's a lot of people who like Trump. There's a lot of people who like DeSantis. People have said, Poso, are you a Trump guy or a DeSantis guy? And I said, look, I think Trump's going to win the nomination. I think he's the guy to go back and finish what he started. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to sit there and say that I didn't support Ron DeSantis, his governorship. I think he's one of the best governors I've ever seen in my entire life. And I made sure to tweet that out during his presidential announcement. And I thought he was fantastic on COVID. I thought he's been fantastic on a number of other things, fighting the radical left. And what I'd love to see, and I've said this before, I'll say it here and again, I'd love to see some way that the two of them could make some kind of deal to work out not just a fight over 4 years, Charlie, but what about the next 12 years? Because remember, Donald Trump is term limited to one more term under the Constitution. But if he were able to come in, you know, make DeSantis part of the administration, then on the back end, turn around, and then DeSantis becomes president again on the back end, or becomes president after, you've got a 12-year potential for a populist nationalist onslaught from the White House, which is what you're going to need, because for the first 4 years, you are going to need someone to come in there and take an absolute wrecking ball to the deep state. And I'll tell you something, Charlie, in order to do that, you have to have someone who's not worried about reelection. Because if someone's worried about reelection, and this is going to be true of any politician, they are going to temper their hand. They're going to temper their actions. They're going to try to reach out to everybody. But if you've got someone who knows that there is no chance for reelection because the system is term limited you out, that's the person that can actually go in and start pulling down this vast edifice that we've seen erected over our founders' vision, over the Constitution. You want to talk about all the ways that the FBI is targeting conservatives, the way the Department of Homeland Security is targeting Turning Point USA just this very week. We found out, for example, you're not going to be able to get someone to fight the system that much if there's someone who knows that they are looking for their next election, someone who's fundraising, et cetera, all of these different things. I'm making the case that in any construction project, the first phase is demolition. You bring in someone to do the demolition, and then you do the construction after.
There's a lot of chatter online, DeSantis versus Trump. Again, this is not a good week for people out there that want DeSantis, in the sense you have this Tim Scott competitor, you got Glenn Youngkin, Doug Burnham, you already have Asa Hutchinson. I want to actually focus on something that, for me personally, I think no one is talking about, which is, where is Nikki Haley? Is she in the witness protection program? Is she do? I mean, we invited her to our event in ActCon, and she has conflicts somewhere else. Apparently, there's another confab, I guess, of tens of thousands of voters and millions of impressions online that she could talk to. But I she's always been very sweet to me. You know, she spoke at some of our events. That's fine. We disagree vehemently. But Jack, I just want to focus on Nikki for a second, because the Republican Party has changed quite a lot. And so how is it that Nikki Haley went from one of the people that was just being primed for president to now someone where Vivek Ramaswamy, who's been around for 6 to 9 months basically on the scene, is clobbering her? Help me make sense of that, Jack.
Yeah, Charlie. So what you're referring to, and I remember this very, very well in Pennsylvania. I mean, she was riding this path mm-hmm. where it seemed like she was the heir apparent.
That's
it was
correct.
It was Marco Rubio. Okay, this is the pre-Trump era. So this is sort of that post-Romney. So Romney loses, McCain loses, this Romney-Ryan plan, this idea of we're going to cut all the entitlements and we're going to be the technocracy. We're really going for the Acela corridor type voter. This was, and at the same time, the GOP, and you remember this, Charlie, the GOP was going to pivot on amnesty. This was a big, Lindsey Graham was a huge part of this, another South Carolina guy. And it was this idea that we need to bring Hispanics in, and the only way we can get Hispanics in is if the GOP equivocates on amnesty, equivocates on immigration, equivocates on the border, and starts letting people in. That was completely flipped on its head through the events of 2016. And in doing so, it took people like Marco Rubio, infamously, but people also like Nikki Haley, who were sort of like, she was, I guess, next in line after Rubio. She mm-hmm. would have been next in line. And it sort of just pushed her completely out to the hinterland. Because sure, she's got this massive donor base, tons of connections with the military-industrial complex, to the point of where she was actually on the board of Boeing for a while. That she comes back around and says, "Okay, I'm going to run again, and I've built up all the support, and I've got a lot of this funding." But people are saying, "Yeah, we're not looking for that type of politician anymore." Because here's the thing, and you saw this in the response to the Twitter announcement with Ron DeSantis. In the previous era, in the pre-2016 era, that would have been fine. That would have been a fine announcement. And then maybe you pair it with a live event, I think. I do think that the fact that there wasn't a video rally also kind of made an issue, because you need the optics. Like, you always need the optics. But people were going for that sort of bland, middle of the road, very, very logos-centric, mm-hmm. policy wonk type politician, because we were used to those types of politicians. But after the last 8 years, the American people, and particularly the people of the base and the people of the Rust Belt, the people of the South, they've seen what the real thing is like. And they've gotten a taste of actual tangible results, because for so many years, and you remember this, Charlie, the conservatives were told that we are not allowed to use the power of the movement to attain direct results, only indirect results. And then along comes Trump and says, "This is what's going on in your life, and I'm going to fix it for you. And here's how we're going to do it. And we're going to fight government every step of the way." And then he actually goes and does it. And so once you've had a taste of something like that, how do you even turn around and go back to the way things were before? It just doesn't make sense.
Jack Posobiec has your show coming up at 2 p.m. Eastern. When does that start, Jack?
So that will start on Tuesday. So not today, but starting Tuesday, we've got the new show lined up. Look, 2024 is gearing up, and it's time to fire on all cylinders. So Human Events is coming to daytime. We're putting together the nationalist populist power block of Bannon's War Room, the Charlie Kirk Show, and then the baton gets handed mm-hmm. off in the afternoon after you come off to human events, where we're going to be breaking down the receipts. We're going to be bringing on guests and just taking this thing all the way through.
Yes,
so for everybody who's wondering where to go during the day, you just got to watch Rappin'.
Yeah, that's right. It's Real America's Voice. I mean, you literally have Bannon at 10 a.m., then our program at noon, you at 2. So from 10 to 3, that's 5 hours of midday programming, everybody. Show me another lineup that comes even close to that, right? I mean, that's powerful, and it's going to be really big, Jack. We're excited for that. Hey, everybody, you're probably magnesium deficient. That's right. And people message me, Charlie, how do you get sleep? I sleep great because I get the magnesium I get. And look, unlike other magnesium supplements that might be giving you only one or two forms of magnesium, Magnesium Breakthrough contains all 7 forms of magnesium designed to help calm your mind, help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. Over 75% of the population is magnesium deficient. And what most people don't know is that even if they're taking a magnesium supplement, they're deficient because they're not getting all 7 forms. Not only does Magnesium Breakthrough help you sleep better, it also calms your mind and allows you to feel grounded and relaxed during the day and especially before bed. You also wake up easier. It's pretty amazing. Most magnesium supplements are proven to be ineffective because they only contain 1 or 2 forms of magnesium. Magnesium Breakthrough contains all 7 key forms of magnesium to help you have a relaxed response to stressful situations. I take Magnesium Breakthrough, and you should as well. Do not miss out on the most relaxing sleep ever with Magnesium Breakthrough. Magnesium is essential to your brain health, your mental health, and your physical health. For an exclusive offer, my listeners, go to magbreakthrough.com/Kirk and use promo code Kirk10 during checkout to save 10%. For an exclusive offer for my listeners, go to magbreakthrough.com/Kirk. Do it now. That is magbreakthrough.com/Kirk. Use promo code Kirk10 during checkout to save 10%. Keep the pressure on. Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. Welcome back. Jack Posobiec is with us. Jack, Target. We need to talk about this. Target has currently lost $9 billion. That's right, $9 billion in market cap. $9 billion. They're at their lowest stock point in 3 years. The boycotts are working. Cut 105. Here's a Target employee who says that they support Satan and they support Pride. And by the way, just so we're clear, part of the backlash to Target is they also had outwardly pro-satanic clothing. Play cut 105.
Support the satanic Pride propaganda?
Yeah, both.
You support it?
Satan and Pride.
You support Satan?
Mm-hmm.
What's God going to think of that?
I don't believe in God.
Do you support this?
I'm not answering any questions, but if you're here to cause any disturbance in the store...
I'm just asking questions. Do you work for Target?
You're disrupting.
Do you work
yes,
for Target?
I do, actually.
Where's your name tag?
I am the undercover loss prevention.
Oh, okay.
So what you need to do is you either need to leave the store...
God will judge you guys.
Okay.
I mean, I can't. You won't if I don't believe in it.
Undercover loss protection? Why don't you go stop... I don't know, swarms of criminals from looting instead of somebody asking questions about Satan and Pride. Jack, there's something changing in the air and I like it. Ordinary people are now delivering a spicy punch to these corporations. Jack Posobiec.
Charlie, we need more. We need more of this. And USA Today has come out and actually given a name to it. They're calling it Bud Lighting. And in the USA Today's article from yesterday, Bud Lighted. Target is the latest to face boycotts over support for the LGBTQ plus community. Now, what's interesting to me is that that's not, of course, they're always going to spin this as the, actually what the boycott is over about. It's about shoving it in your face, and it's about tying this to Satanism and tying it to transgender ideology for children. But beyond that, Bud Lighting works. And we are going to use like that scene in Independence Day, right? When you found out how to take down one of them, you get on the phone and you call everybody else. Because it turns out that conservatives have finally, to your point, Charlie, it's like flipped a switch. And I used to say when we would speak at Turning Points events, and I would say, I wish I could push an operating system update to conservatives that we can actually take action, that we can do things by voting with our wallets, by voting with our dollars. I call it economic warfare against corporate America. And we talk about Public Square every day and these different opportunities for people to go out and find companies that we know are supportive of our values, because that's the only way this is ever going to work. Look, libertarians may have made this argument for years. Libertarians will always say, well, you know, just let the free market work it out. And if a company doesn't, you know, isn't doing what their consumers want, then okay, you know, then they'll see to form and they'll be able to come back. Great, fine. It's up to us to actually hold the line, because Charlie, what we were sold in the 1980s and the 1990s was this idea that America has got too many standards, and America is these moral guidelines are stifling and they're just crazy and they're too hard. And what we really need, Charlie, is to take away all the standards and the morals, and they come from the Bible, and that's just some old book that was written thousands of years ago, and we don't really need that anymore. And so what America did was that they took away all standards, and social conservatives and God were pushed all the way to the far side, outside of the public square. And then all of those church moms, and you remember this, Charlie, the ones from the 1980s, the ones from the 1990s that warned about the slippery slope, you know what? They were exactly right, because if they could see, and I'm sure they are seeing in some ways, what's going on TikTok every day, what's going on in places like Target, what's going on at the LA Dodgers right now, they would be sick to their stomach. And that's why we as conservatives need to take our dollars.
Jack, tell us about the Dodgers. Producer Andrew's a huge Dodgers fan, so he hates this segment.
Look, they're celebrating drag nuns and trans Jesus. They're celebrating drag nuns and trans Jesus. They're going to put on, I don't know if they're going to be performing there.
No, I think they're giving them an award, though. This is not, they are recognizing and honoring them.
This is an award for an organization that exists as a hate group targeting Christians and in particular Catholics. And Bishop Barron,
that's correct. No, to his great credit, Bishop Barron,
church leader,
he stays out of this
stuff. I'll give him credit.
He's going right into it. I love Bishop
Barron. I will give him credit for coming out, because, and I think that's a sign actually, because these are people who don't typically get into the front lines of this culture war, but because the lines have been pushed so far, and I've been very critical, by the way, Charlie, and I know you've been talking about this as well with the Pastor Summit, that we need the church leaders, whether you're a conservative, traditionalist Catholic,
we just had our Pastor
evangelical
Summit.
You need to kind of get in this fight. You
Jack,
need to
congrats.
Get in this
fight. On Tuesday, day after Memorial Day, Jack Posobiec at 2 p.m., right after our program. Honored to have him continue the energy and the flow. Steve Bannon starts it, and Jack Posobiec all the way through. Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Just when you thought it couldn't get any better, Mike Lindell with MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. That's right, you heard me, MyPillow 2.0. When Mike Lindell, great American patriot, invented MyPillow, it had everything you could ever want in a pillow, but now 20 years later, he discovered a new technology that makes it even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has a patented, adjustable fill on the original MyPillow, and now with a brand new fabric that is made with a temperature regulating thread. For exclusive listeners, the MyPillow 2.0 is buy one, get one free offer with promo code Kirk, and get your best sleep ever. MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology is 100% made in America and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square to buy one and get one free offer. Enter promo code Kirk or call 800-875-0425 to get your MyPillow 2.0 now. That is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Check it out. Okay, we've been very clear all week about how you should handle Target. We should bankrupt them and bring them into Chapter 11. Well, the Young Turks, TYT.com, writes this headline, which is pure slander. Activist and right-wing host Charlie Kirk used his platform to incite violence at Target for its pro-LGBTQIA+ merch, and social media influencers were happy to oblige. This is a lie. We never said anything close to that. In fact, the actual transcript is as follows. We need to go after Target in a very serious way. I'll read you. You guys saw the program. We need to go after Target in a very serious way. It's time for decent, ordinary Americans who do not believe in radical ideas in either direction to say, I will not allow my kid to be corrupted by this trans agenda. And look, Target, it looks like they're caving. They say they want to put clothes in the back. I want Target to go bankrupt. I want them to close. I want Chapter 11. It's time to keep the pressure on. Now, they're just misrepresenting one of the essence of what I say, is that all they understand is force. Yeah, of course, all they understand is force. the force of a movement, not physical violent force. You know, there's multiple definitions of force. They're intentionally lying about me, the Young Turks. And by the way, we have our lawyers already on this. I've never said violence. And this is the same thing they did with me when we had Riley Gaines on the program. And we talked about the pervert Thomas, who undressed in front of the exact same intentional misrepresentation of my stated beliefs, of what we talk about on this program. In fact, I say, yeah, I want them to go to Chapter 11. People say, what does success look like? Chapter 11. The only thing they understand is force. Pain is a teacher, and the pain of crossing the line to perverting our children and grooming them. It's going to be a lesson I hope corporate America watches, because ordinary America is pushing back. We must push for bankruptcy of Target. Make it happen, everybody. It's called a free market. And this is part of the playbook of the left, is that they count on our reaction and the misrepresentation of our reaction to be their action. You type in Target right now, you will see nonstop PR propaganda defending Target. I'll just read some of the headlines, and we have Darren Beatty coming. Target pulls Pride items after employees threatened. Whoa, 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 whoa. Employees aren't being threatened. Stop playing the victim groomer, Target, you perverts. Anti-LGBTQ threats lead Target to pull Pride Month merchandise. Target becomes latest company to suffer backlash for LGBTQ support. No, no, no. It's not about LGBT support. You have satanic, minor-driven content for 5, 6, 7, and 8-year-olds. That's why we are coming after Target with our purchasing power. The only way they win is if they're able to misrepresent us and they are able to categorize us as quote-unquote domestic violent extremists. Joining us now is Darren Beatty from Revolver.News. Darren, welcome to the program. Darren, any initial thoughts on the Target situation? It feels like they're really feeling the pain. I believe we're finally seeing the consolidated punch and purchasing power of the American right. Your thoughts?
Absolutely. I think this is set up to perhaps be another Bud Light situation, maybe even more damaging to Target. The uproar is severe, but entirely justified. I mean, it's pretty crazy. I haven't been to Target in a long time, but even before this thing blew up, I'd have friends send me pictures and such indicating like what's going on here. They have, you know, the children's section, they have shirts celebrating, you know, it's way beyond Pride. You know, Pride is, you know, 10 years ago. Now it's transgender stuff. Now it's dragging stuff. That's sort of the default for the mannequins at the children's section, which is, you know, crazy. And so people are catching wind of this. And now it seems like, you know, the uproar has reached a stage that it's kind of critical velocity here. And I hope it continues. One interesting thing to note, a lot of the anti-Target activism has actually been coordinated on TikTok. A lot of angry moms are, you know, taking to TikTok and they've caused quite a stir. So I think, you know, as much as we criticize TikTok for legitimate reasons, we also need to acknowledge that in this case, it's been a, you know, positive organizing tool for moms across the country who have used that platform to bring awareness to this disaster going on at Target. Just another, just a heap of contempt displayed for regular American people.
Yeah, and I mean, we're starting to see it move the dial, and I'm going to get to your story at Revolver.News. For example, John Amanchukwu, who is a TPUSA faith ambassador, you might have saw the video, Darren. He went to a school board black pastor and talked about all the curriculum. Khloe Kardashian, of all people, liked that social media post. So you're starting to see some sort of changes in the matrix, glitches in the matrix that I think are really positive, especially after the LGBT alphabet mafia, rainbow cartel, the trans zealots are going after children to embrace their inner groomer desires. So, Darren, tell us about your latest story, Revolver.News, about Ron DeSantis. It's very interesting.
Yes, I wanted to, but just one another quick thing about Target is I haven't been following this as closely as many. The person been, you know, with these, there's always someone who's kind of a driving force in the marketing or has been promoting this. Have we attached a name and a face to this prophet yet?
You're asking the Alinsky question, which is the, because you must, right. you abstract boycotts against brands hit limits, but when you personalize, you must attach a name and a face. So I'm just blaming the founder, right? Brian Cornell, sure. Who is awful, and he's freaking out right now, by the way. And he says this, so just so you know, Target CEO says that the emphasis on LGBT issues and diversity is a good business decision. He says we are going to stand by our bold commitments, and that's it. He says that DEI has funded growth in sales. He said the things we've done from a DEI standpoint, it's adding value. It's helping us drive sales. It's building greater engagement with both our teams and guests. And those are just the right things for our business today. Now, I mean, he's doubling and tripling down, right? The numbers are speaking for themselves. And look, typically markets are somewhat outside of politics, right? I mean, it's just, are you turning a profit or not? And right now, in the last month, Target is down 11% in market cap, 11%, heading into their holy month of June.
That is interesting and very encouraging, because on one hand, you might say, unlike Bud Light, which is more of a discretionary item, in this Biden economy, a lot of people, you know, don't have many options in terms of shopping and have to shop at a place like Target. So it's harder to actually do a boycott. So the fact that the American people have stepped up and visited this much financial pain on Target, despite the difficulty of doing so, I think really says something in this case.
Please tell us about your article.
Yes. Well, we have a really fascinating article. We all, have recognized very early on the problem of big tech censorship. And, DeSantis recently announced his candidacy. And I'm the first one to say I think he's been, an excellent and competent governor. But there's this idea that he's the policy genius. And I think that in the case of big tech, the inside story of his much lauded bill to basically make it possible for users to sue the platforms that have discriminated against them for political reasons, that this was basically a non-starter. There are poison pills in this bill that look like they could only have been put in there deliberately. And in fact, many people who studied the issue closely, including, incidentally, Clarence Thomas, who in an opinion on the case, people remember there was a case where people were launching First Amendment attacks on Trump because he blocked people on Twitter. And that ultimately had to be overturned at the Supreme Court level. And in his opinion, Clarence Thomas actually provided extremely sound advice for anyone who wanted to craft a bill along the lines of what Florida was doing. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, they completely ignored his advice and the obvious common sense advice of other experts and set up the bill to fail, not only for Florida, but the failure of the DeSantis big tech bill actually was very likely to have negative spillover consequences for other states attempting to do something similar and on a more sound basis. So we get into a lot of the inside baseball on that so people can really understand what it entails to do this, and some really interesting reasons why DeSantis may have sabotaged his own bill.
Darren, what do you make of this last week? DeSantis's launch, Donald Trump, Tim Scott. How are you processing this last week?
Well, I've never been impressed with Tim Scott, and he's kind of maybe more of a sideshow. As for DeSantis, I felt that it was a little bit of a dud, and the medium is kind of the message. And he got, Elon to do a lot of the heavy lifting. If you're going to be the guy announcing, you need to be the star. And in this case, even, he kind of seemed to have read a script in a Spaces announcement, not highlighting the kind of live direct interaction with his would-be voters. There's always this sort of intermediated aspect of DeSantis's communication that doesn't emphasize his direct relationship with voters. And in this case, it was further kind of diluted by the fact that most people were interested because it was, Twitter and Elon. And in fact, a lot of the people who participated in this Twitter Spaces event were, there to express their support for Elon Musk. So, I think on the whole, it was kind of a dud in terms of the launch. And of course, there was a technical failure, which I don't know how big of a deal that was. But I think it really does kind of underscore the charisma differential. The piece that I talked about underscored that actually on policy, his success is a little bit exaggerated, but the charisma differential between DeSantis and Trump is it's a chasm. It's a Grand Canyon. Being able to connect with people and connect with voters is absolutely critical for someone who wants to lead a movement, which is what a president needs to do. And so for that reason and multiple other reasons, I've always been very skeptical about DeSantis's candidacy. I've always wanted him to stay in Florida because he does a job as governor and it's suited to his strengths.
And this is now a billion-dollar primary and it's going to put our ability to win back the White House in severe jeopardy. Darren, thank you so much. Check out revolver.news. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Let's get through a couple things here. This is politically incorrect, so buckle up. Happy Friday, right, Blake? We always have fun on Fridays. Google searches for phrases including am I gay or am I lesbian have increased by 1,300% since 2004, according to a new analysis. Okay, so let me first explain how somebody in kind of Normieville will say, people are now able to further discover who they actually are, and this is a great thing because there's more comfort, and this is because of pride, and this is because of the celebratory aspect of this, and this is great. There's nothing unusual about this. There's nothing troubling about this. Yeah, their argument is basically naturally 1 in 3, 1 in 4, 1 in 5 people are queer, gay, lesbian, trans, or whatever. This is a lie. Okay, if you talk to any person who actually honestly remembers growing up in the 40s or 50s or 60s, this is a lie. They were not widespread trans people. Yes, there have always been people that have same-sex attraction. Is it 20% of the population? Is it 30% of the population? Is it 40% of the population? No, and so there is a social contagion aspect to this. And I'm not saying this in a necessarily negative way. It's a factual thing, okay? It's a factual thing that when you propagandize through Disney movies, through TikTok and other things, people will start to look for alternative lifestyles that they otherwise would not do. And so when you have an entire generation, it is the gayest generation in history. It's like 1 in 3. It's 1 in 5, right? 1 in 5 young people identify either as trans, bi, lesbian, gay, whatever. Yeah, that should probably make you press pause and say, is this a healthy thing for society? And it's very funny. People say, well, Charlie, why do you care? Well, you care. You're the ones that are talking about this all the time. So obviously you care. So don't get mad at us for us caring too. That's what I always laugh as they say, Charlie, why do you care that a guy walks around in a dress? Well, you obviously care so much. You make an entire month out of it and you talk about it all the time. So caring is not a disqualification for engaging in the conversation. Okay. And I think most Americans' temperament is this. I think most of the audience on this issue is this. I don't think you're overly interested in people's private sexual behaviors. My temperament is the country I grew up in. Live and let live. I believe in marriage, one man, one woman. I believe in monogamous relationships, obviously. But also my temperament is kind of like, okay, your private life as an adult, I don't want to overly police that. That's not what any of this is about. That is not what any of this is about. This is about them injecting drag queens to kids at libraries. This is about grooming kids via the Target section. This is about mandatory involvement and celebration. Again, I believe 90% of our audience kind of has a temperament of like, okay, not for me. Just, I don't want to have to see it on my television screen. I don't want to see flags everywhere. Like it's some sort of imperial gay conquest. And that's kind of what the month of June is. It's like we have conquered the entire country. It's like an occupying force that has come in. When again, I think my temperament, most people's temperament is that not my thing, whatever. It's not live and let live. It's live and let them rule. And so I just want to make sure we're clear that most of you, most Americans have somewhat of a relaxed, laissez-faire attitude towards this stuff, albeit simultaneously saying we never should have redefined marriage. I'm 100% there, right? That's not what this is about. This is zealotry. This is about convincing. This is evangelism. Look at this here. This is Cut 77, North Face. This is, I mean, in podcasting, you're going to be spared quite an image here. Play Cut 77.
Hi, it's me, Patagonia, a real-life homosexual. And today, I'm here with the North Face.
We are here to invite you to come out in nature with us.
Wow, this is nice. We like to call this little tour the Summer of Pride. That's pretty gay.
Okay, so Rainbow Bigfoot out there is, you know, dancing and celebrating, but why would they mention their competitor's name? I don't, anyway, the whole PR strategy behind this stuff is not rational or reasonable. But that's just one example of all of that. Oh, that's the literal drag queen's name, Patagonia. These people are freaks. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.